Hello, everyone, and welcome to this SearchSQLServer.com podcast, a special edition from Microsoft TechEd 2010. I'm Brendan Knoyer, editor for SearchSQLServer.com, and I had the chance on Monday, the first day of TechEd, to sit down with Quest Software's Brent Ozar and Kevin Klein. Now, as many of you know, Brent and Kevin are extremely active in the SQL Server community. Both are Microsoft MVPs, and most recently, Brent actually earned a certified master status for SQL Server. So, as you might expect, they had a lot of interesting things to say during our conversation, which touched on the cloud, virtualization, SQL Server 2008 R2, and other topics. But we started naturally with business intelligence. The week of TechEd also served as Microsoft's BI conference, and I was interested to get their assessments on Microsoft's overall business intelligence strategy in regards to Power Pivot, the new features included with R2, and so on. So let's just dive right in here, starting with Brent. Here's what they had to say about Microsoft BI.
Yeah, between R2 and today's keynote, I think I was really impressed with the thought that they're putting into making it easier for developers and end users. Everything that they're doing now isn't targeted really at SQL Server professionals. It's targeted to people who have to deal with SQL Server accidentally, whether they're just consuming data, whether they need to get data into it. And today's keynote's showing Visual Studio managing SQL Azure in the cloud. And SQL Server Management Studio was an afterthought. It was a 30-second, oh, look here, you know, it also connects to Azure, but that's about it. So it's really interesting to see how hard they focus on end users and developers, because those are the people who are really going to now take SQL Server to the next level by continuously pushing and demanding it as, this is where I want to have my data.
Well, you know, and I really want to concur with Brent, too. One of the things I think Microsoft has caught on to quite well is where the crowd is headed. So rather than where are the specialists going, right? So that would be something like the parallel data warehouse. And there are definitely customers out there who want that, so that it enables them to compete with the likes of Tandem and, you know, the very, very highest end of the things. But as we see cloud and other kind of crowd-influenced sorts of technologies, things like, you know, for a long time, Microsoft's biggest worry wasn't Oracle in terms of competitiveness with SQL Server, it was MySQL. So I think they learned a lot of really important lessons from that. So let's help the guy who, this isn't his main job all day, every day. This is the person who is occasionally or casually or accidentally in charge of this stuff. And so Power Pivot is a great example of that. There are tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people out there who are extremely skilled at Excel. But they don't know too much about BI. Now, with the two of those, we can bridge that gap. We can turn, you know, every office has an Excel, an Excel guru of sorts. Right. We can turn that guy into a very functional, very effective BI.
Well, it's good I have both of you guys here because I've talked to you both in the past year about cloud stuff, and Brent, you had your thing like, yes, I'm using the cloud, and Kevin was much, much more skeptical. So it's good to have we got two sides of the coin here. Microsoft's obviously, you know, totally committed and invested in cloud computing.
All in.
It's also, they're also really tying how virtualization is sort of the first step. But still, there are a lot of people who are still virtualizing their servers. There's a lot of people who aren't virtualizing SQL Server. There's a lot of people who aren't doing desktop virtualization. Have you sort of skipped a step, do you guys think, yet? Or, like, what are your thoughts here?
I think the struggle for so long was the inflexibility of IT, that you had to plan out so far ahead and budget so far out. Virtualization just blew the doors open. Everybody thought they were going to save money. And, of course, as it turns out, you end up building more servers because it's even easier. And I think Microsoft, probably the dirty secret behind the curtain, is that by letting people roll out new machines in the cloud as well as, you know, do things on-premise, they're trying to cut your developer time and infrastructure management time, but they are going to propagate the use of Windows a whole lot further. They're going to say, here, this is why you should, yeah, go on, throw out a test environment in the cloud. By all means, we've got your credit card number. We'll bill you by the hour. You know, so I think it's really shrewd on their part, and I really like where they're going with it, because at the end of the day, it makes life easier for developers, too. So I'm good with that. What do you think about that?
What do you think, Kevin?
Well, my skepticism still exists in certain cases, certainly, but there's no doubt that it's growing and will be a major... I think we're really at the cusp of a new paradigm. I know that word is actually tutted by many people, but, you know, is different as the world was after the internet became popular, I think we'll be looking at that in a couple years. You know, today is, you know, we're on the cusp of that new kind of cloud computing era. There are certain things, though, about it that still lend itself to the experimenter. You know, the way they roll out the hardware inside of these enormous data centers, it's not really geared toward a high-performance OLT. You know, for example, there is a limitation on the size of the database that you might want to roll out in SQL Azure. And it makes sense, because that very clearly tells users what this is targeted for. But the flip side is, this is going to be huge. And all of our products now are taking that into account. For example, our Spotlight product, new release, it includes monitoring for virtualization overhead. It includes the ability to connect to and monitor SQL Azure databases. So we are absolutely on top of this. I'm not sure if I'd use Steve Ballmer's term of I'm all in, but we are definitely absolutely committed to this. And our customers are too. We hear that daily.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, and it's weird. What we get, and what we get when we talk to a lot of users and a lot of just DBAs, administrators, everyone's like, it's cool. It's a cool, in theory, it's cool. It's a cool concept. Right. It was a great demo. I have absolutely no idea how to implement it in my environment at all. Yeah. So it could be sort of a, like a slow climb. I mean, I think it's going to be a really slow climb. Like, do you think that's part of the shrewdness of it? It's like really just investing in this right away, so you don't have that situation where it's like, oh, you guys were kind of late to server virtualization. Now, now just like don't take any chances, get it on the cloud. So by the time people start to do it, even if it is 5 years from now, you're already like, you know, like sort of a trusted place to go to.
Yeah.
If you were a CIO, you didn't want to go to version one of virtualization. It was painful. It was miserable. I was there. And really, some of Microsoft's competitors learned so much along the way that by the time the world was ready for it, there were already platforms out there that were solid. And Microsoft's doing the right thing with the cloud here. Everybody's going in crazy in the cloud right now, and at least Microsoft will learn the lessons so that when they conquer the big nasty S word, you know, security, Microsoft will finally be there. Right now, security still really is the big problem. They got about 3/4 of the way through the keynote before they finally admitted, and oh yeah, you know, we're really working hard to figure out how to audit security in the cloud. And that really limits adoption right now, and that'll really affect the long-term ramp up.
And just to toss in on that, you know, the Microsoft, historically, when you look at them over time, they've always been exceptionally good at responding to the competitive landscape, right? You know, they were a little behind on the internet stuff. Netscape was out there, it was huge. They came on strong, and they came back with Internet Explorer. I think they, again, they're learning from past experiences. So we see Amazon's services, and we see Google services have a bit of a lead on the racetrack. But Microsoft is coming in, I think, with the right intensity and the right focus to absolutely remain a viable, if not, you know, one of the outstanding choices there in cloud services.
That brings me to one of the things that they really emphasized in today's demo was Visual Studio.
Right.
And by far and away, that's one of the best products Microsoft has. You know, if you go to the front end, Office and Visual Studio are just fantastic, and nothing out there in the open source world can come even close. And for them to all of our stuff is going to be accessible and manageable through Visual Studio, and here's how you interact with it, it leverages all this huge investment they have in credibility with developers. Some of the other competitors are going to have a really long race. Amazon has a decent web console, but, you know, that's kind of where they end, and they expect somebody else to develop the front-end toolkit. Like, we have one in our Toad product to manage cloud stuff there. If Microsoft really does well with Visual Studio, developers will just go to the cloud by default in Microsoft services and say, here it is, I just got to right-click and deploy, and off I go.
Now, I want to talk a little bit about, because you've said several times that Microsoft is really geared towards developers with Azure at this point. But we want to talk about DBAs, because the DBAs still, you know, we talked before, like, they don't really need to know too much about, right, worry about too much right now. That was around PaaS, and then we talked again a few months ago, and it's pretty much the same deal. Is there anything changing right now with the changes they're making with Azure that, as far as like what a DBA would be interested in as far as managing cloud databases? Like, where is that going right now?
So they announced today that they were going to a 50 gig limit for databases, that they were adding spatial data and they were adding sync. And all of these things are things that developers are going to want to move forward. DBAs need to know the pros and cons of Azure so that when their developers ask, they at least have good answers. Because if the developer goes straight to the project manager and says, I can do this in Azure for $49.95 and off we go, the project managers are just going to agree and go for it. So DBAs really need to keep an eye on what the strengths and weaknesses are of Azure solutions. For example, How do you back up your data? You know, it sounds straightforward and obvious, but if you don't know to ask that question, and some people aren't going to think about asking that, you're going to end up in a world of hurt if you put all your eggs in that basket and there's no backup coming.
Yeah, and just to add a thought to that too, the one of the things that, you know, I haven't seen a lot published, but I know a little bit because I've read what HP has said about these new data centers that are setting up with Microsoft, and you know, they're literally backing up 18-wheelers that are full of, you know, racks and racks and racks of servers, and they're turning them on, and I think I've even heard a rumor, I don't know if it's true, maybe you can corroborate it, but I've heard that they're even charging not by how many servers or CPUs, but how many kilowatts they consume. And this might be something that a different vendor like IBM is doing, but I know that the scale is getting so big now that we're not just, you know, checking off a list and there's a quantity box. It's like, how many kilowatts do you need to burn here? But what I'm getting at is this. If we fill up a data center full of, you know, 1U boxes that have a couple CPUs, a few gigabytes of RAM, a few hard disks, every one of your SQL Azure database is disk space is measured in terms of volume. I think the reason we have a 50 gigabyte and before that we had a 5 gigabyte, 10 gigabyte limit was not because we didn't have ample disk space. It was because we cannot give you the IOs you might need for a bigger, more active database. So as a DBA, that would be one of my crucial elements to consider. What is my bandwidth, not for memory, not for CPU, but what is my bandwidth for? Because if they put two 12 terabyte disks in there, you're just not going to be high in performance yet. Definitely great for the smaller app, for the specialized app, for a specific kind of pilot project, but I'm not rolling out my production systems yet on it.
I did want to take a step back, though, and talk a little bit about virtualization again, just because, like we said, you know, we're way ahead of a lot of people right now who are still, you know, haven't started virtualizing SQL Server, haven't done VDI, and might not for a variety of reasons. You know, Hyper-V's come a long way. Obviously, Microsoft wants you to use that. You got the SP1 now. People are going to start doing more SQL Server virtualization with some of the stuff that's happening now. How does that simplify some of the challenges that were around before? Let's start with Kevin this time. We keep going back to him. Here we go.
Well, and yes, there's no doubt. Virtualization is definitely picking up. The amount of one of the big holdbacks was the amount of overhead that a VM might consume, and that has really been brought strongly under control. So it's very manageable, and many of our servers are so powerful now that you can afford to give up a little bit of overhead in order to have the more virtual machines and more consolidated rack space and all the other benefits, less power and so forth. So it's definitely coming on strong, and I actually do feel like Brenda is much more qualified to talk about this than I am. He's actually head of the special interest group, the virtual chapter for PASS on virtualization, and so I'm sure he's talking to people on a daily basis about that.
I'll put my pom-poms on now and cheerlead virtualization. I think it's absolutely phenomenal for DBAs because so many of us don't do a good job at clustering, log shipping, replication, database mirroring, and all of a sudden you just get instant HA. As soon as you can move that guest around from one host to another in real time, I keep saying that virtualization gives you your Saturday nights back. That all of a sudden you don't have to do these weird outages in order to do box firmware upgrades. So I'm a huge cheerleader of it for easier HA, DR, management, and it's just another, I hate to say this, but it's another nail in the coffin of a database administrator who only knows how to do basic DBA tasks. You really need to learn what does virtualization make easier in terms of database administration, and how can I take advantage of that so I don't have to do things like clustering, log shipping, replication.
But isn't that an opportunity, though, like from a career standpoint?
Of course, yeah. I did the same thing with my career, is that I went and learned SAN and learned virtualization, because all your knowledge as a DBA and performance tuning applies directly to SAN tuning and virtualization. Just take that segue right into your career and take off. It really helps.
Do you think there's any dark side at all, though, with VMs and that can lead to proliferation? Just, oh, it's so easy to pop up a VM. Let's just do that. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, yeah. The old slang for SQL Server sprawl. You know, that you just threw the disk in. It didn't require a key. Now at least Microsoft requires a key, but now you can clone VMs so easily. Everybody I know who's gone into virtualization, their licensing costs have not gone down because it's just so easy to deploy new templates. Oh, I need a dev box, I'll just go deploy it, take a snapshot, off I go. The other dark side is that there's still not good I/O throughput. It still doesn't do real multipath and virtualization. So if you've got a SQL Server that needs more than two host bus adapters for your SAN, forget it. Make that the last box you virtualize, because we're still not there yet.
Well, I think we're about to get kicked out of here. Thanks, you guys, for taking the time, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you.
That concludes today's podcast. For more from Microsoft TechEd, be sure to visit searchwindowsserver.com for more news, commentary, and analysis from the event. And of course, right here at searchsqlserver.com, you can get more information on SQL Server 2008 R2, business intelligence, the cloud, virtualization, and much, much more. I'm Brendan Knoyer. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.